If you were listening closely this morning, you're probably wondering, what's this guy going to say about this scripture? That's what I said to God this week. I said, what are you going to say about this scripture? So, actually, I'm going to tell a very simple story and try to encapsulate in this the meaning and the intent of this very difficult scripture in the gospel that was read. When we were kids, there were six of us boys in one room. There were four in one full-size bed and two in one twin bed. We also had four pillows. Well, two might have been bona fide pillows. The other two were lumpy cases of small fabric scraps from my seamstress mom's scrap pile. But even they were better than no pillow at all. You know how it is sleeping without a pillow. You end up unsuccessfully struggling to create a pillow out of your arm, which is likely to go to sleep in the middle of the night. The other two pillows were regular feather pillows. One was pretty good, and the other was really good. For a while, we shared pillows, but that messed up our heads to tails sleeping system. To share a pillow meant having someone breathing into your face or in the back of your neck or worse, touching you or worse of all, you're rolling over into somebody's damp drool. They say necessity is the mother of invention. Well, when necessity is the mother and disgust is the father, invention is born preterm. So it wasn't long before we came up with a pretty ingenious system we called grab pillow. No, not my pillow, grab pillow. It worked like this. At 6 o'clock every evening, whoever claimed a pillow would have that pillow for the night. You got it? So if you could realize by, say, 5:50 that grab pillow was in 10 minutes, you could quietly sneak in, feel the pillows to identify the best one, and then hold it to your chest for 10 minutes. Then at precisely 6 o'clock, you would have the decidedly exhilarating thrill of yelling out the bedroom window to the boys out in the large, undeveloped land next door where we all played endlessly. Grab pillow! Then you could gleefully observe as the stampeding mass of brothers scramble into the room, diving wildly about in all directions to find a pillow and hopefully, if they got the wrong one, have enough time to toss it and grab a better one. I remember that frantic routine as if it was yesterday. And I recall the deep pleasure of us having come up with such a creative family law. It was the Samuels family law, not a law firm. It was an elegant and fair system. Well, on closer examination, it wasn't as fair as it seemed. There were times of knockdown, drag-out debates, as two brothers would swear up and down that they grabbed a pillow first. Or argue about who was holding on to the biggest part of the pillow. And therefore was the rightful grabber. Did the bigger brother grab the pillow away from the little brother, even though he grabbed it simultaneously or even a little late? And finally, what chance did a smaller brother have racing against a big brother from the same distance? So, we came up with a legal amendment to the law. For the first problem, if two brothers grabbed a pillow simultaneously, both hold on to it. One brother would keep that pillow tonight, and the other brother would get it tomorrow night. Isn't that elegant? It involved a little delayed gratification, but it all worked out in the end. There was really no good solution for the second problem, though, the little brother problem. So we evolved an informal system. We had no name for it, but you can call it my man. Any brother who realized it was grab pillow time would identify a younger brother, and they would sponsor that brother for the night. We called that person my man. That was the little brother you were feeling most fond of or were least mad at that day. If, for example, we were all playing outside with the neighbors and I realized that it was 6:30 and grab pillow had come and gone and nobody had realized it, I would nonchalantly saunter over to my man and tap him on the shoulder and whisper, "Grab pillow." And we would both saunter over to the house discreetly and gleefully feel the pillows and secure the best ones for the two of us. And then we'd hold them to our chests, walk over to the window, and yell to everybody else, "Grab pillow!" And watch them scamper in to grab the two pillows full of scraps. Honestly, I don't believe I have had since then a more satisfying feeling than seeing the stampede of my brothers as they scramble into the room, wildly flailing about, trying to grab the remaining pillows. What we didn't realize was that we were doing at home what nations struggle to do. Given the reality of limited resources, we created a law that gave the best chance of a just distribution of those resources. Once the law was established, though, it turned out to have unintended consequences of contested rights and an unfair advantage to the fastest and the strongest. And we solved the contested right of simultaneous grabs with an amendment. But we couldn't find an amendment for the little brother disadvantage. That had to be solved by something else, a little love and compassion. It was this last solution that, for me, carried the essential spirit of the law. And what was that spirit? The fair distribution of goods, equal opportunity, respect for the youngest and the slowest, that they could have as fair a shot as any at sleeping on a good pillow or any pillow on a given night. But even more fundamental to the spirit of the law was the love that characterized and occupied that spirit. There was a deeper, unarticulated, divine motivation that inspired us. It was that deep inner sense that each of us had inherent, age-defying dignity. Each of us deserved respect of our humanity. None of us should feel neglected or irreparably disadvantaged. That this simple childish solution was a way to express love and communicate a value that would bring down the mountains of older sibling advantage and raise up the valley of younger sibling disadvantage. This was more than about pillows. It was more than a clever solution. More than avoiding fights. More than mere meritocracy. More than equality, even. More than sticking to the rules. It started with making a rule to create equality, but it was motivated by a deep respect for each other. When the law fell short, we amended it. But no amount of amendments can protect the vulnerable from the strong. So we paired the weak with the strong. My man. In today's Old Testament scriptures, we see a lavish veneration of the God and the laws he gave. The laws were connected with great promises, great rewards of wealth and well-being for an obedient nation. But it doesn't take long to realize that those laws were mankind's very and quickly inadequate steps, very first steps toward just outcomes. Laws are driven by a deep sense that life should be fair, and that the fairness was a society's language of love for God and for people. That was that an egalitarian God was pleased with those who obeyed those laws. Do not kill. Do not break a marriage vow. Do not swear by God's name or God's creation. But what Jesus is saying is, look around you. You're a nation of laws, but simultaneously a nation of great inequities and injustices. You kill those who kill another person. But you yourselves harbor anger towards others. You destroy other people's lives and reputations with your hurtful words. You bully and mock and belittle and trash talk and play the dozens and hit below the belt with biting remarks and put downs and passive aggressive backhanded compliments. The law says don't commit adultery, so you stone a woman for her adultery, while you husbands fantasize about another man's woman all the time. You follow the legal processes for divorce, yes, but your women are seen as possessions and are discarded from marriage on a husband's trite whim, and then the woman becomes defenseless and impoverished, desperately seeking to find another man to survive. The law says live up to your sworn contract, but you prevaricate, you exaggerate, you inflate and overstate. You escalate, all the while swearing and pretending to be honest. I swear on my mother's grave, I swear to God, I promise, or I insist on, or believe me. When you're trying to make an impression, to get ahead, win a contract, create an impression, win a contest, sell a product, get a job, get a date, get elected. Instead, be honest. Let your yes be yes and your no be no, and make sound claims and fulfill your promises. Our society today seems right back where the ancient Jews were 2,000 years ago, in a way. We are a nation of laws. Our constitution is a model among nations. We have noble amendments and more lawyers per capita than in any other country. Yet our women still are regarded as objects to be ogled and possessed, exploited and marketed. Our marketplace is full of false claims and sham performance. You might get a call tomorrow, in fact, from the IRS demanding that you deposit $1,000 into an account or suffer grave consequences. Our best lawyers are deployed in the interest of the wealthiest. The rich get richer and hoard advantage. Our best teachers teach the wealthiest communities. The service providers give their best service in the best neighborhoods. The internet is full of the vile insults and belittling comments. We agreed with eyes wide open that a man who insults the weak, takes advantage of women, makes thousands of false claims, could be our leader because we could win. It's time, isn't it, for us to return to the original landmark. The deep motivation for our laws in the first place. I mean, the value and dignity of each human being. I mean, God's divine presence in all things. The spectacular gift of love in each day of life. God's attention to each hair on your head. Each eye, each hand. Your sexuality, God's prioritization of the small, the hungry, the thirsty, the young, the old, the weak, the foreigner, the meek, the poor, the grieving. Today, as you grab your pillow, your piece of the pie, your brass ring, your personal dream, your 401k, your advantage, your American dream, your golden parachute, all within the confines of the law, the admiration of your family, the reward of your economy, the approval of your country. Remember the deeper purpose for all of this. It's greater than the pillow. It's about seeing God everywhere, in everyone, and everything, and in ourselves. In the pillow, and living that awe, seeing that all in the pillow, and living in that awe, with that generosity, insisting on loving solutions, in relentless pursuit of the kingdom of God. Amen.